Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So today we're taking your questions and your comments. If you're watching, please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and check us out on Facebook. So the question for today's show is this: why is the life and legacy of the martyr, Father James E. Coyle, worth remembering and of significance? And if you watch EWTN, you know that they have aired in the past the beautiful documentary on Father Coyle, and we're gonna show a little clip of it today too, also. But I know this is very near and dear to your blessed heart.
Yes, well, I think we're gonna go right to the Father James E. Coyle documentary promo, and this will give you really good information about who Father Coyle is, and this will air before the Mass on Thursday. The Mass is 11 o'clock Eastern Time. The documentary will be on 10:30, I believe that is, Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. So let's go to that documentary introduction now.
I discovered Father Coyle when I first moved to Birmingham, Alabama. This Catholic priest had been assassinated for performing what they thought was an interracial marriage.
The killing took place in broad daylight in front of a street full of witnesses.
It was like one of the trials of the century to see if a man would be prosecuted for killing a Catholic priest in the Deep South. And the answer was, yeah, they would get away with it.
If you go into the jury room and throw out the evidence, you will have all the narrow-minded, redneck people come out and pat you on the back. But for the remainder of your lives, you will have your conscience to prick and sting you.
Father Coyle knew what he believed, Father Coyle lived what he believed, and Father Coyle laid his life down.
Well, what a powerful introduction to that documentary. I know that numerous of you have heard about the life and legacy of Father James E. Coyle. It's a growing legacy that is being known. You notice that it said a martyr for the faith with a small M. He's not been recognized by the Vatican as an official martyr of the faith. They've not been asked about that. But a year or two ago, our Bishop Hiraka said, we want to look into this. And so we're putting all things in place as the Diocese of Birmingham, and then to present it to the Vatican that can then decide if they want to move forward with investigating Father Coyle as a true martyr of the faith, which I totally believe he meets all those criteria, and he is, and it's about time that we get on with investigating after 103 years of the willful and intentional laying down of his life for the Catholic faith, and he was killed because of the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. He did do this wedding that between a dark-skinned Puerto Rican and a convert girl. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. But FBI records show us for years, Father Coyle's life was under threat. The bishop called Father Coyle down years before what took place in terms of his assassination and said, the Klan has been wanting to kill you for years. Father Coyle stayed. Father Coyle tried to befriend everybody in that community. Father Coyle welcomed black people into that congregation. He welcomed Maronites, Melkites. They didn't have churches. He helped them
all
to get started.
All the men and women that were immigrating into the city at that time.
So he was
right?
that kind of guy. He was like a Martin Luther King before his time. He was the face of Catholicism. And finally, they shot him in the face through his temple, out the back of his skull, and it hit the St. Patrick's window. And he was just below the window itself. It hit the brick there. And anyway, he's a great missionary. We're going to learn more about him. Please call us with your questions and with your comments. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
We Welcome back. Well, remember that today we're taking your comments and your questions on our show. So it's Monday. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can always reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So this was the question for the show today. Why is the life and the legacy of the martyr, Father James E. Coyle, worth remembering and of significance? And so this week is the anniversary of his passing, and he died on August 11th, 1921, where he was killed. He was a priest who had married a white-skinned girl to a Puerto Rican man at that time in 1921 in Birmingham, Alabama.
That was an affront to what they believed.
And it was culturally, politically, racially, it was a time. And so another man came and shot him on the front porch as he was reading his breviary. So at 11 a.m. Eastern, EWTN will present the cathedrals across America in honor of Father Coyle. And then what we're going to do is we're going to show you another promo about that.
Yeah, let's go to that right now.
EWTN's Cathedrals Across America and the Diocese of Birmingham in Alabama invite you to an event honoring the sacrificial witness of Father James E. Coyle. Join the faithful of Alabama as they honor the life and legacy of this courageous priest and martyr from the Cathedral of St. Paul, the Father James E. Coyle Memorial Mass, Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN.
Again, 10:30 Eastern time is the documentary. You saw a little promo on that at the beginning of the show. And then 11 a.m. is the James E. Coyle Memorial Mass. We started this Mass some years back as a way to remember, to give thanks, to pray for the soul of Father James E. Coyle and all that God might want to do in and through his life. We thank God for EWTN for their understanding this man, his sacrifice, his courage in the state of Alabama, missionary priest from Ireland that came here and who gave his life. He knew what he believed, he lived what he believed, and he laid down his life that day for the Catholic faith, for that couple, that they had freedom and liberty to marry one another. You said all the political and cultural things that were in question. It was not illegal what he did, because there was a law that said black and whites cannot marry. He was not an African-American man or a black man, which that law was overthrown years later. He was a Puerto Rican man, and they tried to say, well, he's black. And the trial was an absolute travesty. We can share more about that, but we have a question here, Joy.
It said, what were some of the political, cultural, and social implications for Catholics and Father Coyle in particular during his tenure while he was here in Birmingham? This is Jerry from Kansas.
Right.
So what was it like?
Well, it's interesting, you know, in Birmingham, and Bishop Allen, who was the bishop at that time, at Father Coyle's service, you know, spoke about what was going on in Birmingham. And he said when he came to Birmingham, and again, the dates we're talking about, he served in Birmingham, Father Coyle, 1904 to 1921. And he came in the late 1800s. But Bishop Allen said, you know, there was not this anti-Catholic bigotry and hatred when he first came. And so what happened? What took place? My understanding from reading and studying was that down in Florida, they went very anti-Catholic to win political elections, and it mobilized Protestant people at that time to go anti-Catholic. And then they brought that to Birmingham, Alabama, to win elections. And so what used to be kind of debates about the Catholic faith versus the Protestant faith and what we believe about the Eucharist or what we believe about the Blessed Virgin Mary, those were always there, those things. But now it went anti-Catholic very strongly at that time of Father Coyle's tenure, especially around 1915. He was there in 1904, but at 1915, this wave came in of anti-Catholic bigotry, and they started saying things like the Knights of Columbus, of which Father Coyle was the chaplain, was mobilizing weapons, and that there was going to be a revolt. They said things like the Catholic Church is kidnapping girls. And so they created a law in the state of Alabama that any church, any monastery, the law could just walk in and search for kidnapped children. And it was madness. It was crazy. And so the Catholic Church was seen as violent, revolutionary, going to overthrow the government. And the Pope was going to move to America. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of thing. And Father Coyle was the face of that. He was the face of Catholicism, very articulate, studied in Rome, came over as a young man at age 23, planted numerous churches, was principal at McGill Institute, all boys school, then came to Birmingham, and he was a man of the people, all people. He would always say his prayers on the front porch in the evening time, the place where he would be assassinated, he'd be murdered. And so he would do that, and he'd interact with people and talk with people. He might go for a walk with them. He wanted people to see the Catholic faith in him.
Right.
And like I said earlier on, that the FBI warned the bishop that they were going to assassinate Coyle because there was such hatred against Catholics, black people, African-American people. And Father Coyle was open to the Middle Eastern people and all people, and they knew that about him. And then finally, the doing of this wedding. Father Coyle said before the wedding that I've been asked to do this wedding. And he told all the priests, he had breakfast with the priest, I think it was that day, or lunch. And he said, old man Stevenson, which was Ruth Stevenson, the girl who married Pedro Guzman, that he's probably going to kill me today.
Mm-hmm.
He predicted that might happen. And so when he did the wedding, you know, he married this couple. There were two witnesses, Father Coyle's sister, Marcella, and another priest that was there. And he said to them, stand off to the side when I do this wedding. And so he did the wedding. After the wedding, he said, you know, tell your father that you've married, you know, Pedro and so on. And then when he went out to say his prayers, he was pacing, the man who would kill him. He was a Methodist minister of sorts. And he was waiting for Father Coyle. Father Coyle was saying his prayers, as you said. He came up at point blank range, fired three times, one shot going through his skull. His sister, Marcella, who came from Ireland to care for him, found him in a pool of blood. And so this man was a marrying parson, Stevenson, who killed him. So all he did was marry people in the courthouse right next door. He came in, he went into the courtroom window, it was open, with the gun in his hand and said, I just murdered the priest. I murdered him. And this began a trial that would last for 5 days, and I could tell you more about that, but we have another comment.
Well, here's a question. It says, how much attention from media was given to Father Coyle's murder and the trial of the man who shot him? And this is Christy from Pennsylvania. So what happened?
It was like the O.J. Simpson case.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the cases that was the most monumental case of the 20th century. New York Times covering, all other state papers covering. What were they covering? Will a man be convicted for killing a Catholic priest in cold blood? Will he be convicted in Alabama?
In 1921.
And so the case went to trial. Hugo Black was the attorney. Hugo Black, state senator, he became, and the Supreme Court justice. And he defended Edwin Stevenson.
Right.
Clan judge. Hugo Black was a Klansman. And
most of the jury were Klansmen.
Yeah, right, and the judge. And so he was found not guilty of killing the priest point blank range due to momentary insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was given his gun back. And he went to marrying people right next door to the place, you know, probably 40 yards or so from where he had shot dead Father Coyle. So this was a huge case. But you know, when I heard about Father Coyle, when we came here, you know, years back, we heard about this shooting that took place and it was never really dealt with. And finally I visited Father Coyle's grave because I was a lapsed Catholic. And I said, Father Coyle, I heard about you. I'm a lapsed Catholic. I'm an Episcopal priest. We have a great ministry. Should I come back? And I prayed at his grave. And then I found out that it was a Catholic burial site for priests and sisters and bishops. I went to, you know, probably 100 graves and said, I'm Jim Pinto. Should I come back?
And the photo that they're showing, that's his grave.
That's his grave. Mm-hmm. And then I visited with, I went to the cathedral after I left the Episcopal Church, and I spoke to the pastor there, and he was an Episcopal priest that became a Catholic. I said, you know, I want you to know something. I left the Episcopal Church. I prayed at Father Coyle's grave, and I want you to know something. Father Coyle's alive, and he's changed my life. He's alive. and why don't people know about him? So when Father Coyle was killed, the Catholics, it was so painful. I could read you from the little book that I've written called Killed in the Line of Duty. But they were so filled with pain, and they just laid it to rest.
Right.
And that's it. They didn't want to talk about it. So it's been, you know, it was like 90 years before he became known. We'd put up a website, fathercoyle.org, fathercoyle.org. You need to go there for all the information about Father Coyle. But that's where you can find resources, right? So that's
right.
What's that question there?
It says, what are the resources available for myself and my family to learn more about Father Coyle's life? And this is from Harold. Well, everybody just needs to go to his website, and it's fathercoyle.org, where people can go and find out about it. There's been a book written.
There's numerous books.
Right? And you have a pamphlet that you've written called Killed in the Line of Duty. And then there was another booklet.
Rising Road by Sharon Davies, Killed in the Line of Duty. And then there's numerous other things there. So go to fathercoyle.org, and you can order things there, and then watch the documentary that will be Thursday at 10:30 Eastern time. Watch the Mass. So this, when we first started this, there was no material out there.
Right. But and now then a beautiful thing happened that the minister, he was the bishop from the Methodist Church, right?
Yes.
Had a service for reconciliation and for healing. Because the Methodist Church, no one had publicly apologized or said they were sorry. Because this man was a representation from the Methodist Church, right?
He was a bishop. Right. So after 90 years, this bishop had a service Ash Wednesday of that year. After 90 years, and it's a beautiful prayer. You can see it in the booklet. I don't have time to share it now. But they repented of the hatred between Catholics and Protestants and what took place, and repented of the shedding of Father Coyle's blood.
Yes.
I'd also say that Hugo Black, who defended this murderer, years later as a Supreme Court justice, overturned the law that said black people and white people could not marry. I mean, how ironic is that? Maybe redemptive, because the whole time he said this Puerto Rican guy is a black guy. They violated the law. This never should have happened. And his father went insane for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyway, it's an amazing story. Pray for the extension of Father Coyle's life. He's really a man for this time who welcomed all races, all people from all over, and you know, welcomed them into the church as they would come to Christ and to the church. So we'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to go to Rome to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan's going to be sharing a reflection on the life and death of Father Coyle, as well as how the church has worked to recognize martyrdom in the modern world. Joan?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. You know, when you sent me the focus for this week's show, and that is to say the life and legacy of Irish-born Father James Coyle, I had to admit I didn't know who he was. And yet, I discovered that most of his ministry, after he was ordained in 1896, was spent in Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, how many times have I been to Birmingham, to EWTN, and yet I knew very little about him. So, of course, I had to do some research, and I discovered that the last years of his priestly ministry, there was great anti-Catholic sentiment and persecution, mostly promoted by the Ku Klux Klan and also by a secret anti-Catholic political party called True Americans. And Jim, as you just told us a few minutes ago, of course, it was on August 11th, 1921, that Father Coyle, he was simply seated on the swing of the rectory where he lived, and he was shot and killed by an enraged minister whose daughter, without his permission, only 2 hours earlier, had been married by Father Coyle to a Puerto Rican, and that was not looked well upon in those times. But since then, Father Coyle has been called a martyr to duty. And now, so what I want to do is look at new martyrs, because it was in 1994 that Pope John Paul, in his apostolic constitution called Tertio Millennio Adveniente, the arrival of the third millennium, he Here's what he wrote about that. He said, the church of the first millennium was born of the blood of martyrs. The blood of martyrs was the seed of Christianity. At the end of the second millennium, the church has once again become a church of martyrs. The persecution of believers, priests, religious, and laity, has caused a great sowing of martyrdom in many parts of the world. The witness to Christ, born even to the shedding of blood, has become a common inheritance of Catholics, Orthodox, Anglicans, and Protestants. And he was quoting Pope Paul VI in his homily to Ugandan martyrs. Now, fast forward to 1999, and Pope John Paul set up a commission to look at the new martyrs of the 20th century. The commission did all of its work in the Roman Church of St. Bartholomew. This is on Tiberina Island in Rome. And they collected over 12,000 files. And then in the Holy Year 2000, this commission and the memorial inside St. Bartholomew's Church was established and blessed, consecrated, if you will, by Pope John Paul. This is a fabulous place, by the way, to go visit, and I wish this was TV, actually. I wish I had in front of me some of the photos to show you. In any event, the new martyrs now are all mentioned and focused on in six chapels of this church. So you have the new martyrs of Asia, Oceania, and the Near East, Latin America, Africa, the new martyrs of communism, the new martyrs of Nazism, and the new martyrs of Spain and Mexico. So the question now is, will Father Coyle someday be listed as one of these new martyrs? And on that thought, back to you.
Joan, thank you for so wonderful sharing the research that you've done. Join us next time for an interview with Monsignor Frank Bugnano about how we can grow closer to the Lord by spending even a brief time in prayer each day. Father Coyle left behind 18 volumes of writings, 18 volumes over the years that he ministered there in Birmingham. His final words were these: give. Give until it hurts. Then, only then, is there sacrifice. And he was killed for the faith. May we have that kind of faith. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.